Hi, this is Tom Winifred with the Bearcast. This is the last from Shipston in Warwickshire. I'm sitting here in the conservatory with my dad's miserable cat, Obi. It was named after Barack Obama, but then they realised that it was a woman. Anyhow, it's called Obi. It's a miserable creature. Likes my dad, hates the rest of humanity. The great joy of the morning is the discovery that the local Bulgarian big issue seller is picked up in a silver Mercedes at the end of her shift every day. More on that later on my personal website. Big news of the weekend for share profits was in yesterday's Bearcast, bonus Bearcast, the fact that we will be charging for access to this website and for all Bearcasts as of Thursday. As of Thursday, you'll be able to get 3 free articles a month if you're a registered user, but no Bearcasts. I'm afraid you are going to have to pay for it. I was intrigued by one reaction from someone else in the media who said, it's not going to work, Tom. Well, if it doesn't work, then I'm going to call it quits. There's no point in running a website at a huge loss. So we'll change the business model or something else. But if we lose money on this, there's no point carrying on. So I'm sure it will work. But there was one guy who said, it's not going to work. You know, when you started tips back in the late 1990s, there was very little for free on the internet. And so you could get away with charging money, but people aren't prepared to pay for things today. Actually, it's not true. When we started tips back in, was it 1999, 1998, 2000, something like that, nearly everything was, in terms of financial websites, free. I remember the Investors Chronicle running a table, and everything was free apart from tips.com and that, where it showed dollar signs all along. You had to pay for it. So we were going against the trend there. And it worked. Tips.com had a peak usage of 6,000 people. It had 3,500 even when I left. Of course, it went bust with no readers whatsoever under the new management within a year. But that's another matter. And it's interesting today. Yes, most things are free, but the trend is towards people having to pay. Anyhow, I hope you have to pay. One reason to pay is that Bearcast saves you or makes you an awful lot of money. On Friday, I reported on Providence Resources. You will remember Providence Resources. We've covered it numerous times on this website, largely with letters from Richard Jennings of Align Research, pointing out what a complete and utter waste of space the company is. It's been run for many years by Tony O'Reilly Jr. Now, as a keen supporter of Irish rugby, Tony's old man, Tony O'Reilly Sr., he was a wing for Ireland, great businessman, ran Heinz, total hero. His son, he's a bit of a schmuck. He's been trading off daddy's name, drawing a big salary, and frankly not delivering for years. That remains the case. But that wasn't the story of last week. The story of last week was on Thursday, the shares zoomed ahead by 37%. Part of the rise happened on speculation about the Drombeck field. That was fueled by my good friend Richard Jennings of Align Research asking or suggesting that he heard rumours that the Drombeck field had a lot of gas in it. On Friday, in Bearcast, I warned you that I thought that was unlikely. Indeed, I had a source, a very reliable source, who told me the field was dry. Today, the company has fessed up. It needed to make a statement. That's something which we and Mr. Jennings could agree on. It needed to make a statement. The field is indeed dry. There is no gas there. There is no oil. There is nothing of value. This is yet another failure for Providence Resources. The shares have duly collapsed. At time of recording, they're down by 36% at 5p. They hit something like 9p or well over 8p at peak ramp last Thursday. I warned you. I hope you went short. I hope you certainly didn't buy into the hype. Bearcast saves you money. The biggest faller today, however, is Jersey Oil and Gas. This was the old trap oil. I used to call it crap oil in its day, and then it changed its name, which was rather a shame because you can't really make a pun out of Jersey Oil and Gas, and I like to be abusive and insulting. Anyhow, Jersey Oil and Gas was basically a play on two wells, Partridge and to a more significant extent Verbier in the North Sea. Today it's fessed up. Both are likely to be plugged and abandoned. There's just a chance that Verbier may be sidetracked and there may be something coming out of it, but it's unlikely. The reality is that they are both being plugged and abandoned. Jersey Oil and Gas had been hyped on speculation about the potential of Verbier, and the shares had been ramped to high heaven. Today, they have fallen by 181.5p to just 38.5p. That is a fall of 82.5%. It was this stock was on my death list as a company to go bust. It was the one I took it off because I just felt I was battling against a headwind. It was running into a tropical storm, running along the tracks with the express train coming the other way. And it was pointless saying this company was going down the pan, but, well, it doesn't look good. The reality is the company is left with more or less nothing on the asset base. It does at least have $2.5 million of cash. However, even at 38.5p, the market cap is something like $3.5 million, so it's trading at a premium to cash. Now, you might say, well, it's just a possibility that there may be a sidetrack on Verbier. Maybe that's worth it where the optionality is. I suspect when it's confirmed that that doesn't happen, you're then going to be saying, well, it's a premium to cash. $2.5 million is pretty subscale for a company on AIM. I mean, if you're going to float an investment company, you need to have at least $3 million in the kitty. So it's subscale. And of course, you have the PLC costs, which I put it to you will be not insignificant. During the good times when the shares were going through the roof, you suspect the management were living high on the hog and all the usual stuff, you know, paying to go on proactive and have a soft interview about how big the cock of the CEO is, all that sort of shite. Well, it's going to be very hard to turn off the taps on that immediately. So the cash position will go down. The shares are now trading at a premium to a cash position, which will be constantly eroding. I wouldn't try and short it. I suspect it's impossible to short at this level now. But I certainly wouldn't be tempted to bottom fish. Why? What do these two things have in common? Well, it's this idea that if you buy oil exploration stocks, people think they're investing. You're not. You're gambling. There was an old phrase which used to hang on the wall of Rick the Punter Noel, the father of my co-host on Show Me the Money, Louise Noel. Who was an old-fashioned stockbroker, and the sign that hung on his wall was, insider dealings, investments, everything else is pure speculation. That's just a joke. But Rick was a punter. He would was known as the punter. He would gamble on exploration stocks. But it is gambling. It's not investment. Investment is when you have a whole load of known factors. So you know that the profits of Marks & Spencer, we have some idea that the profits of Marks & Spencer will be X, the dividend will be Y, the asset backing is Z. You know what the share price is and you make an assessment. You may get it right, you may get it wrong, but that is investment. When you have complete unknowns, you are gambling. If you had been buying shares in Jersey Oil and Gas, you were gambling on Verbier coming in. If you were buying shares in Providence last week, suckers, you were gambling on Dronebeg containing a lot of gas. You didn't know. You were betting on unknowns. It is like betting on the 4:30 at Haydock Park. It is gambling, not investment. Generally, the rule, the wise rule is you buy on the rumor, you sell on the facts. And it's not really that. You should buy before the rumor. Once the rumor's out there, frankly, you should be selling. When every man and his dog tells you that Providence Resources is about to buy gas, find gas, Jersey Oil and Gas has got a great prospect in the North Sea. When you see that the LSE Asylum and ADVFM bulletin boards are full of speculation about what drilling results could contain, that's when you should be selling. Because all the morons in town already own the stock. What's the upside? Probably limited. What's the downside? Well, look at Jersey Oil and Gas losing 82.5% today. I would draw the same analogy with UK oil and gas. We have shown, or I have shown, how on fundamentals it is grotesquely overvalued in relation to the real value of Horse Hill based on what we know, and the value of Broadford Bridge based on what we know. And what we know is that there is oil there, but we don't know whether it's even commercial. So on fundamentals, we know that it is clearly well overvalued. It is perfectly possible that UK oil and gas could be cheap if there are a myriad of other far larger discoveries. But frankly, the chances of that happening are pretty remote. It's probably more likely than me sleeping with the entire cheerleader squad of Dallas Cowboys, but not that much more likely. On the other hand, the downside potential, that is to say, there are not a myriad of other much larger discoveries, well, that is really very, very certain indeed. That is, the far more certain than me shacking the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader squad, it is really very, very likely. So on a risk-reward basis, when every moron on the LSE asylum is buying UK oil and gas, and when the shares trade at a huge premium to what we know on fundamentals, what's the upside? Well, the shares may go up today or may go up tomorrow. They may go down. I don't know. They could be 10p next week, but they might not be. But the upside potential, given what the market cap is now, is probably pretty limited based on what could happen over the next 12 months. The downside potential, when we actually get the actual hard numbers of what Broadford Bridge could be producing, I put it to you, is much, much greater, especially when we know there's a placing on the way. Talking of placings, Stella Diamonds announced a placing today. It really is a keep. The lights on placing, it's $330,000 before expenses, raised with Peterhouse at 3.25p. The shares were 4.5p Friday. It's a whopping discount. You can imagine who has taken it up. No offence to my friends at Peterhouse, and no offence to sort of people who invest in placings of 330,000 quid, but that is not Fidelity, JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs private clients. That's bucket shops, it's spivs. The odds are some of them were forward sold on Friday. If they haven't forward sold now, they're selling now. They're flipping the stock. At the same time, the company's announced a 200,000 quid open offer at 3.25p. Why on earth would any moron want to do that? The chances are you'll be able to buy the stock for pretty close to 3.25p in the open market soon as the last flippers get out. Moreover, on fundamentals, 330,000 quid before expenses, you're talking well under 300 grand after expenses, 270 maybe. That is not going to keep the lights on for very long. If you look at our last financial statements, you can work out what the cash burn is. Yeah, bloody, bloody, blah, yakety, yakety, yak, yakety, yakety, yak. You can work out what it is. It's pretty simple. This is just a keep the lights on placing. And as such, anyone taking up the open offer needs their head examined. It's worth noting the statement from UP Global Sourcing. Now, I don't actually know much about this company, but it's interesting in what it says. This is a trading statement covering the year to July 31st. And what it says is this is a company involved in retail. What it says is that in that year, sales and EBITDA were ahead of expectations. I read the statement saying sales and EBITDA are ahead of expectations. Why the fuck are the shares down by 33%? You have to read down. Since the year end, business has fallen off a cliff. We're only 6 weeks into the new year, but they're already able to say that whereas sales growth last year was 39%, there's going to be no sales growth this year. Absolutely none whatsoever. Well, that indicates, again, what I have been warning you about in a big way, which is the confidence of the consumer is severely dented. It's partly down to house prices slipping, but it's also uncertainty about the world. Fears, you've seen interest rates in America going up. Fears, you could see the same thing here. The weakness of sterling probably has an effect on the psyche too. All of these things are making consumers spooked out. They bloody well ought to be, you know, because the average British consumer has got sweet FA and savings and stacks of debt. They are not resilient to any sort of shock at all, whether that shock is, you know, nuclear bombs falling in Korea, a bit of unemployment here, base rates going up, any sort of shock. We are, as consumers, are in a very bad place for facing it. You know, what you should have is you should have enough cash to last you for 3 months with zero income as an individual. That is basic prudence. But very few of us have actually got that. Instead, we've got stacks of debt on our credit cards. It is a real problem for society. So, and I think consumers are sort of in their sort of hardwiring of their brain. They're recognizing that and therefore they're adjusting their behavior. So that's one thing. So sales off a cliff. Look at the wider B2C facing stocks, Fulham Shaw last week. The other thing was this thing about how wage increases driven by the national minimum wage, the living wage, pandering to Corbyn, all that sort of shite, are exceeding price increases. So companies across the board, where you have a lot of relatively low paid workers, people on 10 quid an hour or less, are having pressure on wages and are finding it impossible, given what's happening to consumer behaviour, to push through price increases to offset. That is crushing margins. Again, if you look at stocks in your portfolio, if you have stocks in your portfolio which are A, consumer facing, B, very little pricing power, and C, wages being a material cost, they are all in a very dangerous position, especially if they themselves have borrowings. Right, that's it from me. I'm heading back to Bristol today, so hopefully this will get up before I leave. Enjoy the day. If you are a cheapskate, you will only have two more Bearcasts to listen to after this. I hope very much you're not a cheapskate. I hope you can afford 6 quid. 6 quid is the cost of 12 cigarettes. It's the cost of a glass of wine in a Ponzi wine bar somewhere in London. It's the cost of a frothy, semi-skimmed, organic cappuccino with cinnamon. Some of those crap hipster bar coffee bars that Darren would go to in EC whatever. It's a bargain, 6 quid a month. I hope you'll all sign up. We'll be putting a form up later today for those who wish to continue listening to Bearcast. So to those who do, keep up the good work. To those who don't, cheapskates. Speak to you tomorrow. Goodbye.